Over the past couple days, we've relived some of the most important events in human history. On Holy Thursday, the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood. On Good Friday, the death of our Lord. And then today, Easter Sunday, the resurrection. I want to focus on these events through the lens of the Apostle John for a few moments. And he was a young man at the time. He was the youngest of all the apostles. He was right next to Christ as they celebrated the Last Supper, as he instituted the new and eternal covenant. He was the only apostle to be an eyewitness to the crucifixion. And he was there at the foot of the cross witnessing this brutal, agonizing death. He stood there for 3 hours watching as our Lord gave up his life. He was there when our Lord said his final words, "It is finished." Left from this world. He was there when they took his body down from the cross and when they put it in the stone cold tomb and closed the stone that closed off the tomb. You have to imagine that for the rest of that Good Friday, for Saturday, the Sabbath that was the following day, that there was just shock and silence. You know, many of Christ's followers were disappointed. They had their hopes crushed. They thought that this was the Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel, and now he was dead. For any of us who have ever experienced the death of a loved one and gone to the committal service at the cemetery, there's a sense of finality, you know, that you know that you won't see this person again in this life. And then on the following day, we hear Mary Magdalene coming in from today's gospel, and she's probably frantic. She says they've taken the body of our Lord. You have to wonder what's going through John's mind as him and Peter run to the tomb, and they see this empty tomb. And John, I'm sure, still had the words echoing that Mary Magdalene was saying, that they had taken his body. They took his body, and we don't know where it is, as he steps into this empty tomb. And you have to imagine as he walks in, you know, the gospel says he saw and he believed. There had to have been a moment where he walked into this tomb wondering, where is the body? Where is the body? When all of a sudden the words of Christ would echo in his mind, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days." You know, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he remembered the transfiguration, seeing Christ in glory, when Christ said, "I will rise on the third day." When it all clicked in John's mind at that instant, you know, to see for the first time, you know, you have to imagine the shock. I'm sure every hair stood up on the back of his neck. I'm sure the blood drained out of his face when he realized the body hasn't been stolen. Jesus Christ has come back from the dead and he's alive and he's walking around somewhere. You know, this was perhaps the greatest moment in human history, and I'm sure that John's heart was just filled with joy and excitement after all the despair and disappointment they had experienced the past couple days. And I'm sure he was in awe, just recognizing that Christ had now conquered the greatest enemy of the human race, sin and death. The fate that awaits us all, death, that Jesus Christ had conquered it. You know, this was a turning point in human history, and something so far beyond the expectations of any of the apostles and the followers of Christ that they didn't even recognize that this was a possibility. They thought that it was over. This was something that exceeded all their expectations. Why is this event so important? Well, first of all, for the first time in human history, we have definitive historic proof that life does not end with death. You know, at that time, even within the Jewish faith, there was a wide variety of beliefs in terms of what happened after death. Some people thought it was the end. You just ceased to exist. You were gone. There were other people who believed in the land of the dead, that it was Hades, this like half existence of darkness in this shadow land that people would go after they died. Certainly not a pleasant place. You know, other people believe that you would come back to life as some other person, that it was this endless cycle of dying and coming back. You know, so you had all these different views of the afterlife, but for the first time, we had actual concrete evidence that there is life after death. A physical person who was witnessed by over 500 eyewitnesses who saw Jesus Christ back from the dead. Second reason why I think this is important, because it's an event in history that should completely transform our view of reality. If this life is all there is, if we just have 70 or 80 years in this world, then live it up. You know, if that's all there is, make sure that you have an enjoyable life. Go out, buy nice cars, you know, get a lot of money, enjoy it while you can, because then you die and it's over. But if there is a resurrection from the dead, that means that our lifespan of 70 or 80 years is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And that what's really important isn't whether we're rich or in poverty in this life. It doesn't matter whether we have money or not for 70 or 80 years. It doesn't matter whether we have good health or chronic illness and all sorts of suffering and pain. It's only 70 or 80 years that we're in this world. It doesn't matter if we're famous and people think a lot of us and we have a great reputation, or whether we're completely unknown or vilified by people. It doesn't matter. It's only 70 or 80 years at the most. But the resurrection is eternal. And so this transforms our worldview, that it no longer matters so much our condition in this world. But what matters is whether we obtain the resurrection of the living or the resurrection of the dead. Whether we share in Christ's resurrection for all eternity or whether we suffer and are separated from him for all eternity. That's what truly matters. If that's really what shapes our worldview, then our greatest thirst and our greatest desire in this life should be to one day attain the resurrection. That just like Christ, we will come back from the dead, we will be reunited with a glorified body, and we will be able to rejoice in happiness for all eternity. And so what is it that brings us to the resurrection? How is it that we can one day share in this resurrection? Because we don't have the power to raise ourselves from the dead. The reality is that the risen life of Christ comes to us through the sacraments. Last evening at St. Mary of the Woods, we had the Easter Vigil for St. Pat's and St. Mary of the Woods. We baptized two people who were coming into the church, and we had a number of confirmations and reception into the church. Those people received the risen life of Christ through the sacraments. And when we come to the Mass, when we receive the Eucharist, when we go to confession, we're receiving the risen life of Christ within us. And so our greatest thirst, if we truly believe in the resurrection, which is a verifiable historical event, then our greatest desire should be to one day share in that resurrection. And so we should be thirsting for every chance that we can come to church and receive the risen life of Christ in the sacraments. And in our behavior, it should transform our whole moral code so that we're no longer doing what we want, but we're seeking to conform our will to the will of God so that one day we can live with him in harmony for all eternity. So the question for us today, has the resurrection of Jesus Christ transformed our entire worldview? I guarantee you, when John the Apostle stepped into that tomb and it dawned on him for the first time that nobody stole his body, he is back from the dead, that completely changed his view of reality from then on out. And so too for us. We should live no longer for ourselves, but for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to one day share in that. May we thirst for the sacraments, for the Eucharist, and may we strive to live moral lives so that one day we can merit to share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.